take a deep breath and put on a whole lot of clothes and go for it. That's sort of my motto in things like this. I want to ask you this morning, the name of my message is, Are You Connected? Yes. You know that there is this reality in the scriptures that I want to remind you of this morning, and I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures right off the bat to remind us that over and over again, Jesus told us the main thing is to love God and to love Him and to love people. To love God and to love people. That it's not either or. And really, if you say you do either one without the other, methinks thou dost miss the point in being a Christian. So Matthew 22:36, it says, Master, which is the great commandment? Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's first. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in John 13, he said, Jesus only gave one commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Yes. Sometimes people comment on churches and say, they're such loving people. You know, if you can't find loving people in the church, you're going to be hard-pressed to find loving people. And I want to talk to you today about the two greatest connections you'll ever make in your life. I'm talking about the two connections that you get connected with that you don't disconnect from. I'm not talking about encounters. I'm talking about connections. These two connections will bring life and power to you and position you to accomplish your purpose in God. You'll not be able to bear fruit in the kingdom of God without these two connections. These are the two greatest connections you can ever make. The most amazing thing happened in this world when electricity was discovered, and when Thomas Edison discovered that he could connect that electricity with a light bulb. And it really got good when they found out they could connect it with a refrigerator. And now we're even connecting it with cars, battery-operated cars. It's the most amazing thing. It took Edison thousands of trials before he finally got that bulb to turn on. Hasn't it taken that for us? We're about to get connected. But when you get connected, it'll change the whole world, just like electricity getting connected. You know, lightning came all the time, but nobody got a hold of it. And that was the idea, to harness that. And so God's plan of empowerment is to connect us in two ways. The first is to Himself, and then connect us with others. Amazing, isn't it? And by connection, I don't mean encounter, I mean to really plug into. And I want to show you today what God's Word says about being connected. He teaches us that we cannot do anything without these connections. Number one, we're to be connected to Jesus as branches in the vines. And two, we're to be connected with each other as conduits of His great power. You know, I began by saying that we can connect to a power that will enable us to accomplish our purpose in God. God has a call on our lives, but we will never be able to do it without being connected to Him. That's why so many people are frustrated. I know I must be here for something. I know what I'm here for. I can't find my purpose in life. I can't find the meaning of life. You'll never find it without the connection to the power. You'll never do it. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit that the work of the kingdom is done, the Lord said. Now in John 15, I just want to quickly read over this again, then I want to share briefly. I want you to understand what that connection's like. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is what you get for bearing fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. How many of you think you brought forth some fruit? Some fruit, come on, everybody, some fruit. How many of you would like to bring forth more fruit? Well, the only way you can do it is by concentrating on that connection and seeing that it's tough and strong and that it doesn't have shorts in it. I remember the first time I ever stuck my finger in an electric outlet. It was a real charge. And it so startled me. I was just a kid, you know, maybe a teenager, and I sat down and cried. And then after I cried, my mother and I just laughed and laughed. She said, but it was an accident, you know. I just wasn't paying attention. She said, honey, what did you expect? I said, well, it's not what I expected. It's what I'm feeling. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Now there's a big payday on this. And it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now the will of God in putting you in Christ, and the purpose was to bear fruit. It was not for you to go to church. That's part of it. But we're to be fruit bearing. That is, we transfer this wonderful thing we have in Jesus to others. And we bring others into this reality. That's the whole thing. He actually says, if you don't bear fruit, you're not my disciples. We've got to get on this thing and understand it and get hold of it. So Jesus here shows us the way to become truly fruit-bearing. And this is what we would call being productive or accomplishing what we had intended. He says it's about the connection. He uses for deep connection. He uses the term in me. I mean, even though you can't get any closer than getting inside it. This is an established connection. It's not a come and go connection. There's no such thing as going back to the altar and getting saved over and over again. Get connected. That other business is just a bunch of works. Get connected, and the life will be there to do everything that you need to do. He further tells us that we are not connected in. If we're not connected in Him, we will not bear any fruit. It may be something that we're doing that passes for fruit, but is an imposter of that which is born by the Spirit. And we've been talking about bearing things by the Spirit that are real and that last and that set people free and that empower them. That's what I'm talking about today. I don't want imposter fruit. I really like fruit, don't you? I think it's such a great gift of God. I think a peach is the greatest thing God ever made. Oh, they're wonderful. When you were a kid, though, did you scrub around and try to get fruit that really was imposters? I did. You know these old scraggly-looking pear trees sticking around places? It was like they had cords and twine and string all tied in with them. You know how awful the texture of a ratty old pear is? It's an imposter. One day somebody in the church sent me Anjou pears for Christmas. They picked them in the basement of heaven. I thought, you mean a pear can actually be like this? You know, there's fruit, and then there's fruit. There's those shriveled up, gnarly fruit. How many of you ever ate a pawpaw? My theory on pawpaws is that they are that thing that grows in the Caribbean that is so delicious, papaya. That somebody brought some papaya seed back into cold weather in a place like here in the mountains, tried to grow it, and it was so confused and rebellious it became a pawpaw, which it starts with a P. It's kind of similar, but oh, what an imposter of a papaya. You know, sometimes I think I have a theory about just about everything. Now, he tells us that if we are not connected, we will not bear fruit. We can only bear that which would be an imposter. The reason that he said he is the true vine is because there are false vines. The intellect is a false vine. I get so tired of hearing some people preach and talk out of a false vine. On and on and on, on and on and on and on and on and on. Comma, semicolon, da-da-da, paragraph, new paragraph. Strike that, da-da-da-da. I just feel like I'm talking, hearing a dictation machine. Ministering out of the intellect. And religion is a false vine. Religion is all these carrying on gyrations that we do that look like we've got something we don't have. Because people are not connected into the vine. They're connected into the false vine of religion. The power is not there. The reason he said that we are the branches is because the work of the Spirit has put us into the vine. Put us. If you've received him, you have been put into the vine, grafted in, into the vine. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is a life-receiving relationship like a branch related to its vine. And the Father's the husbandman. He tends the vine. The branch has one of two destinations, the branch. It will be taken away if it bears no fruit. Or if it bears fruit, it will be purged, which means cleansed. In verse 3, he tells us that the word is the agent that is used to cleanse or prune the vine. Some people think that afflictions and difficulties are what prunings are. Boy, he really cut me back, put me through this, and showed me I wasn't anything. Well, if so, those who seem to have very little problems, if it's problems and difficulties that prune us, then those that seem to have very little difficulty all their lives could not be fruit-bearing branches, could they? Because then if you don't have a lot of trouble, you can't bear fruit, only a little bit maybe. They are these who seem to, those who seem to have lots of trouble and woes and afflictions. And yet they only wither and bear less fruit under the pressure. So I don't think trouble is the answer to becoming a fruit bearer. It's the cleansing that comes by the word. You grow that branch that grows, then what happens is... You know, the word divides between soul and spirit and is itself the cleansing agent if we allow it to be. Throughout our lives, there will be seasons. It's going to happen till you die. So if you think you get through this, you're through with it. One day I got so tired and so weary of all I was going through that I said to myself, you know what, self? Pride feels better than this. And I'd been through so much pain and hurt that I thought, I don't know, I think I liked it better when I wasn't as broken, but wasn't in so much pain. And we wrestle through all of these kinds of things. But as long as we live, there are going to be seasons for those of us, if we bear fruit, He's going to fix us so we can bear more fruit. And we will be pruned so we can bear more. The pruning cuts the long branches that really has no fruit, the long shoots out from the branch that really has no fruit and never will, but makes a good show. In fact, the thing looks ugly in the natural when you prune it back, and you think you've killed it. And sometimes you think He's killed you. And sometimes He has. It makes a great display as if it could bear fruit. You know, in a vineyard they say that these empty vines can grow up to be 10 to 15 feet long, bearing nothing, couldn't we? The husbandman will prune them severely. You will think, oh, it didn't have to be that severe. But can you see that what needs to be pruned is not something that came from the outside that you need to get rid of? It's something which we grew from the inside. We have, in working for God, to use our natural gifts, wisdom, eloquence, influence, or zeal, and yet they are ever in danger of being unduly developed, your natural gifts. And then we trust in them. And we just think, you know, I'm doing this. I can do this. Besides that, people will tell us we can do it. They tell us we're marvelous and wonderful because we can do it, just like it was us. And so after each season of work, God has to bring us to the end of ourselves. Now, come on, do we see this? To the consciousness of the helplessness and the danger of all that is of man to feel that we are nothing. Over and over and over again, He prunes us by bringing us the truth of His Word, so that that which has grown up inside of us of ourselves, some of which God was using in cooperation with what we were doing, but when it begins to overtake that which is life, then He prunes it. Sometimes we just can get to feeling good about ourselves. God really appreciates me. He uses my this, He uses my that, da-da-da-da-da-da. And when one day, snip, snip, snip. Oh, I guess God didn't need that after all. Because I thought it was pretty good. You know, Lord, if you get me, you'd get somebody you could really use. I wouldn't be like those other half-hearted people, man. I'd do it right, Lord, you would. Well, if you're that sure of it, you're not the one that's going to be bearing fruit. Because He's going to have to snip all that away first. We can say it like this. There's no such thing as a static state of grace. God will be dealing with us and working in our lives because we are His. His purpose is that we bear much fruit. How He loves us. Which means that a work will be done on the branch by the one who tends it to cause it to become more and more productive. We've got to stay connected to our source of life. If we are not bearing fruit, it shows that we are not truly connected within the vine. It is our responsibility to put and keep ourselves in the vine through communion and obedience to the Word. From the root to the fruit, it is one vine and cannot produce anything without Him. Now I want to talk to you for a minute here in our remaining time about the people connection. That's the other connection. The first one is the God connection. The other one is the people connection. God and people, that's what really matters in life. Remember last week I mentioned that the sacrifice of bulls and goats was exchanged for the sacrifice of praise. How many remember that? It's a lot cleaner in the sanctuary, too, that way. The other acceptable New Testament sacrifice I just mentioned was the sacrifice of communication. This is the most amazing thing, isn't it? That communication, this is the word in some renderings. I think the King James calls it communication. But it is actually the Greek word koinonia, which is not a new word to you. But koinonia literally means, in the Greek, participation or social intercourse or benefaction. In other words, being involved, participating with, sort of like being intertwined with. And it means to communicate or communion, distribution, or fellowship. This has such a high value to God, is that He considers that to take the place of all the killing of the bulls and the goats and the shedding of all the blood after Jesus. Just praise me and stay in koinonia. Is this wonderful or what? Seems to be too hard for some people. But I tell you, if you just do this, it'd be so much easier than trying to bring some other kind of bloody sacrifices. Just as the sacrifice of praise is the New Testament sacrifice that replaces the sacrifice of animals, the other sacrifice is the sacrifice of fellowship, or communicating good to each other. It also has to do with benevolence or good. It doesn't mean just talking, and it never means gossip. Some people think gossip is communication. It isn't. It is something from the underworld that masquerades itself as fellowship. There's no fellowship around putting other people down or even examining their clothes or the color of their hair. Sometimes I have had people say something about someone's hair, this and that, and I just think this. I didn't even know if they had hair. I don't really care what people have. Now, you know, having said that, I do notice hair, clothes, all. I like it. I enjoy it. But if yours is weird and you want it weird, well, have at it. There's probably something real creative in you trying to work its way out. Seen in your head. We have hats. You know, there's a book called Teaching with Your Hair on Fire. And I think that's why some people have unusual hair colors and things like that, is that they've got a desire to do something with their hair on fire. And it's just coming out that way. Now, that's my opinion about that. All right. It's my theory. So, it is the second great connection that empowers your life and is the means to accomplish God's purpose for you in His kingdom. Now I want you to look at Ephesians 4:13 through 16. Listen, here's God's picture of the church. Till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, now listen to this, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. It means if every part is doing its job, everything gets connected, then the whole body is fitly joined together. Makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Means it will cause the body to grow because it's building its own self up in love. You know, any time that we have a thought or say a word or whatever about or against another person, you're just tearing down your own church you say you're trying to build. You can only build in love. You can only edify through love. You never edify by criticizing. And you never build. And by the way, Jesus builds, Satan disintegrates. Always remember that. It is Satan's job to tear down whatever God is building. Whatever's coming together, the enemy tries to get in there and tear it up before it can ever happen. But it edifies itself in love. The body of Christ grows by building itself in love. And this is the love connection. You can't be a joint if you're not in the body. Other parts of the body can't grow as they should if there's not a joint to connect them. Now, once you start listening here, those of you that are asleep, it's time to wake up. If you're not in the body, other parts of the body cannot grow as they should if there is not a joint to connect them. We've got to connect each other. And we've got to connect to each other. We've got to be connectors in the body to get the body to grow and edify and build itself up. If you really love people, you'll try to put them with the right people, help them get with the right people, with the right things, with the right situations. Make those connections. Connecting is important, and connecting others is important. It takes all of these joints. It takes every joint. You know, I can't feed my body if my elbow doesn't cooperate. Well, I can eat out of a dish like Missy does, but to eat properly, it won't work. Missy doesn't even mind. I can't be balanced in my body if my toes don't function. Now, I'll tell you something really neat. I was talking to my doc the other day, you know, the one that's helping me get rid of the residuals from the lunch the parasite had at my expense. And so one of the things involved was my feet and a little neuropathy there. And one day I thought, I was trying on shoes and I thought, oh my goodness, now my toe's not working anymore. And one of my toes was like it got long all of a sudden. I couldn't try the shoes on. They didn't work. It wasn't working. So the next time I went back to her, she pointed out to me, well, you know, your toes are beginning to flatten out. They weren't growing, but they had been kind of like that, you know, kind of wanting to curl down, turn under. And what happened is, in this healing process, now they're straightening out. I said, well, you know, I noticed I could see my toenails on my left foot now when I wasn't able to see them before. And she said, you know, this is going to really help you with balance. Because people don't pay a lot of attention to toes. But when they're not working the way they should, it makes a lot of difference. And so now I'm more aware of my toes. And I just appreciate them so much. I think some people don't appreciate certain parts of the body and certain connectors. When the Lord shows us how vital every little part of the body is, how many people ever see your toes? Maybe you don't even see your toes much. And some people's toes, thank God my toes are not ugly or anything. They're just toes. But I'm using them as an example of if people don't make a lot of noise and carry on, sometimes we don't appreciate them. We don't even notice them. We don't even really, what is the word? We kind of despise them, that is, think little of them. Oh, she's just a toe. Don't worry about her. You probably never see her do anything. She's just a toe. But when you don't have her, you wish to goodness you never lost her. So the body of Christ grows by building itself up. This is the love connection. So I can't feed my body if my elbow doesn't cooperate. I can't be balanced in my body if my toes don't function. I mean, according to John, this is what ruined Dizzy Dean's career, right? That he had an ingrown toenail. And we don't need details. But anyway, it was something about his toe that he didn't get right, and then it ended his career. I wonder if you could end your career in the body of Christ just by letting one little thing get out of order in yourself Or if it's out of order in somebody else and you don't try to help that connection. What if I don't try to help that thing about you? Then I'm the loser. I wish you wouldn't be such and such a way. Well, I'll help them be another way. Here's something we really need to know. People can have some things that really need to be different about them, but it doesn't keep them from being valuable. It doesn't keep them from being useful. And people can sometimes have a whole gap, maybe in their personality, maybe even in their character, that needs to be made right, but the whole person is not a wash. You know, we need to give people a little room. Because remember that, remember back before we got perfect, how funny, how we sometimes had problems and all of that? Someone asked me the other day, you do forgive me, don't you, when I sort of stumble into this thing I don't want to be doing? And I said, I don't see how I can, seeing as how I never do anything wrong. But aren't we a little bit like that, really? Sometimes, oh, well, he does this. Oh, well, she does that. Got a short area and this and that. I'm hunting me out some people that I don't have to have any difficulties or problems with. You know, I just want to have people that will always build me up and always help me and always do everything I need them to do. Well, you don't need a person, you need a dog. That's what Missy does for me. I mean, she doesn't even know the meaning of I'm mad at you, or I'm not interested in you, or what. You know, no matter what day it is. John says when I'm out of town, it gets to him a little bit. I mean, you know, he said, I'm a person too. But he says, does she get so lonely? Does she come and sit with me? No, she goes in your study and watches for hours every day just for you to come back. I just don't see why we couldn't be better dogs. Now I want to mention to you about the increased connection. Acts 2, 46, 47. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. How many of you like to live that way? Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be said. We don't have any idea how powerful this statement is. Out of the express koinonia, the Lord himself began to add to the church every day. Because it was as a result of the fact, that they just continued daily, they were in unity, they were together, and they ate their meat in happiness, singleness of heart, and praising God and having favor. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you see the people, the power of this fellowship, this caring connection? It released the Lord to add to the church daily. This is the salvation connection. It's connected directly to the relationship of the saints among themselves. I promise you it is. And their care for each other. I don't know exactly how this works, but I've seen it as a result. That when a church is in unity, when they all love each other. You know, for example, can you imagine an unchurched person saying, I want to go to a church where they have fights. I just always enjoy good fight, and I like to watch them. I like to hear about them. Nobody in the world wants to go where people are having a good fight. I was in a place of business the other day, and a woman made a statement like, no, I don't go there. I'm not allowed to go there. I'm not allowed to even sit in the driveway or go into their house. No, I don't go there anymore. And I butted in and started talking about something different because I can't stand that kind of talk. It's one thing, maybe there is a squabble going on and everything, but why advertise it? Why make the atmosphere dark and heavy with these kind of problems? Nobody wants to be around that kind of thing. So I just started talking about donuts or something. It doesn't matter. Anything. Anything is better than hearing about people's fights. Hello, does anybody agree? Aren't you glad you came out laugh a little today? I think sometimes when I just really kind of, I just kind of had it. I say to John, you know, we save up preachers we like to hear sometimes. I say, let's hear Jesse. I want to have a laugh tonight. The salvation connection is directly connected to the relationship of the saints among themselves and their care for each other. It seems to me from the scripture and others that God is not interested with those from the outside. God will not entrust us with those from the outside until after we clearly demonstrate our love for those on the inside. Demonstrate your love and care for those on the inside. I recently read an article entitled, 9 Sure Ways to Make Your Church Completely Ineffective. Ineffective. Let me read word for word one of the points. Decide you don't like unchurched people. If you really don't like the people you're trying to reach, why should they hang out with you? Do you love your neighbor, really love them, or do you judge them and think you're better than they are? Love them and you're likely to reach them. Don't and you won't. Not judging unchurched people is one of the 9 signs that you are ready to actually reach the unchurched. Not judging people is one of the 9 signs that you are ready to actually reach them. Now, until we get rid of the judgmental attitudes and wanting everybody to be like me because I'm so great, you see. So if we don't like, and if we don't make up our mind in advance, I'm going to like these people, whoever they are. I'm going to like them. I don't even understand. Sometimes people just suddenly don't like somebody. And I think, oh, what did they ever do to you already? You can just tell by a little sarcastic word, little expression on the face. This is none of you, so you can listen just very relaxed way. And I can just tell. They just decided, I don't like that person. Now I'm looking around the congregation. This is easy to say because half of you are not here today. And I'm looking, I'm trying to find anybody here that I don't like, and I can't find anybody. Do you know that? And when I tell you, if I stand behind the pulpit and tell you something, I'm going to tell you the truth. You're never going to really reach people until you start liking them. And liking people means give them a little space. Just give them some room. Remember, one time you were like that. How do you know if you like somebody? There's something about them that appeals to you. I'm just talking about this is how you know if you like somebody. So just ask yourself a question. Do I like a lot of people? Well, let's just say right here in the church. Leave those others outside. For now. Not the ones that aren't here. But I'm talking about the ones that are not members of the church, not a part. But let's just talk about this church body. And could you just close your eyes and think about some people you like? Oh, my goodness. I can just think about the personalities of our people, the things that they do for me, the kind of ways that I just enjoy how they do this and that, the things that I admire about them. That's how you know if you like people. So if you like person, there's something about them that appeals to you, appeals to you, appeals to you. You think they are worthy of a smile. This is how you know if you like somebody, anybody, a person, people. You feel they're worthy of a smile, a hug, a handshake. You look forward to seeing them again. You would like to know them better. I think we need to pray and ask honest. Let's ask the Lord to make us like people. Really, just think about it. If there's, you know, they say, oh, well, he just sanguine. Somebody like John, oh, he just sanguine. Well, he has to pray about how he feels about people, too. It's just his personality. It doesn't mean sanguines like people and other people don't. It simply means everybody's got to like people. It doesn't matter if you're a rip-roaring choleric. It doesn't matter if you're a moldy old flag. What's the other one? Well, it doesn't matter if you're melancholy and you've got to get your head out from under your arm to see if there's anybody else even there. You still have to like people. Come on now. And some of you may not do as good a job about it as others, but what if you just tried? What if everybody tried to like people? You guys are enjoying this too much. How are you going to cry when we come to the altar call? How can you position yourself to show them we want them in our midst? I'm talking about anybody that would come in here. I had a person say, it was so simple. It was three things that made me know that church wanted me. One, the pastor acknowledged me, spoke to me, and even said, maybe we could get together for lunch sometime. And then they said, other people in the church were friendly to me. Second way they could know people want you back again. Third thing, somebody that was in a class that I was in and had a child my same age, we made friends together. And that's why I feel comfortable, like they want me. Wasn't hard, wasn't rocket science. It was that we did, as Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. We've got to lift up our eyes, church. We've lived with our minds on ourselves for about as long as the Lord is going to allow that. And He's putting us on a new chain now that's a whole lot longer. And He said, now get out there and love these people that I sent you to love. And prove it to them over and over again how much you love them. We can do things like give them a welcome gift. Now I'm talking about what we can do as a church. We can give them a welcome gift. There's a church I've been to twice. They always give you a welcome gift. It'll have like a CD in it and things, a little bag of stuff. I just think it's amazing. They don't speak in tongues or anything. Give them a welcome gift. We can make sure we greet people and learn their names. Amen. What is that guy's name? Sometimes, while I'm learning a person's name, I just come out with anything. And if I come out with that, then I get closer to what it is. And after a while, I've learned it. You know, we greet people and learn their names. We can endeavor to create friendships, especially if we have things in common like children or certain interests. We can work on it. We're asking the Lord to show us some ways that we can keep more closely in touch with the needs of people in our church. We're looking at ways that we can get people more involved in areas they would like to help us with. I'm telling you what we're doing, what we've been talking about. We will be having a new members class in a few weeks. We are looking for ways to get people connected quickly after they go through that class with the areas that they are interested in. And we very much want to show our community we love them. And we want to receive them as well and help them in any ways we can. We're involved with community outreach, but we want to increase that. And we want to invite many of you in the church to help us with that. There's going to be a lot of opportunities. Those of you that are wanting to serve in different areas, and you say, "I want to do some things. I don't know exactly what there is to do." We're going to try to clarify that for you, and get people make a pathway so that connection can be made. Everybody say connection. You know, as Jane has been teaching us on Wednesday, how to gain the heart of the Father for the world. Let's ask Jesus to give us His eyes for the harvest. What if you start seeing things the way Jesus sees them? I thought you might enjoy something I read recently entitled, What Jesus Will Not Say. Will not say. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Follow me and I will bring you fame and fortune. You're too far gone to be saved. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you according to your own plan. You can count on me to work on your time schedule. Now, I did this, and then I said to myself, now, don't get carried away. You're having too much fun with this. Then I started thinking, what could I add that Jesus will not say? Here's my little list. I kept it to about 3 or 4. I don't have time to talk to you now. I have plans. And nobody ever tells what the plans are because they're all secret agents. Oh, this is the third time you've been to church? I hadn't noticed. Now, I sometimes have had somebody ask me, who's so-and-so? And I said, occasionally I've said, well, they've only been here half a dozen times. I could see how you wouldn't know that. It really is important to me that people notice each other. Look at each other. See each other. Get involved with each other. Folks, we've been in our own little world. We've given ourselves too much to ourselves. I just find that the more I get involved in navel gazing and get into my own self, the less happy I am about life and myself as well. Here's one. This is the last one, so you can stand it. You want someone to pray for your healing? I think the people that do that have already gone home. So it's a new day. And the harvest is ripe. Now I'm through preaching. Everybody say, shh. The harvest is ripe.